The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Here's Bill Myers.
I was just thinking about it. Could you imagine Handel as president, Bill Handel as a president? That could be interesting. All of a sudden, they'd be mad. They might be begging for Trump to come back saying, well, I don't care. The mean tweets are fine. But how long have you been here? Where have you actually come from? When he's talking to the immigration lobbyists, that would be very interesting indeed. Anyway, join the conversation, 770-563-3770-KMED. My email, bill@billmyersshow.com. People didn't think I was telling them the truth last night. I had mentioned on Facebook, here it is, I'm getting ready to watch Kamala Harris accept the nomination. And then I had an off-air alarm from one of my other radio stations that I monitor. And so there's a bit of an equipment problem, so I had to come down to the radio station and fix it. And it really did happen, right? They say, and someone was saying, you just did this because you didn't want to watch it. Well, I didn't want to watch it. I had been watching the DNC a little bit earlier. And Adam Kinzinger practically crying, and Donald Trump is a weak man. I think he's going to need one of those tympans, the Tim Tampons or something like that. But, Adam Kinzinger, remember him, the turncoat Republican. And, he was a Republican, I guess, former Republican, as you really have to call it that when you end up giving a speech before the DNC. But they went on and on and on, and apparently... she delivered this speech okay. But my boss, George, text messaged me last night. It's like, if I had two more floors, he was watching the DNC, if I had two more floors on the building, I would jump out of it. That's kind of where he was coming from. So maybe it's better that I didn't watch it. But, as the country burns down and the borders are still wide open, there's $35 trillion in debt. And we have about half the country that wants to cut the genitals off the children as a matter of public policy. Still way more inflation. It's not like prices have come back down. We're just arguing about what is the rate of hiking it. And with world war clouds going here, there are really just two things going on at the DNC for this entire week. There was Donald Trump's fault, Donald Trump's fault, Donald Trump's fault. And then other than that, this is where they were going. I mean, this is it.
Happy, happy, joy, joy. Happy, happy, joy, joy. Happy, happy,
Never joy,
joy. Happy, happy, joy, joy. Happy, happy, joy, joy. Happy, happy, joy, joy. Happy, happy, joy, joy, joy.
I don't think you're happy enough.
And I think it was honestly one of these weeks in which you were just supposed to ignore the last 4 years. Everything that's been going on, well, the last 3.5 years, if you want to put it that way. The last 3.5 years, we had nothing to do with it. I promised to fix all the stuff that we didn't fix last time, and we're actually openly hostile to fixing last time. And that's it. And it's Joy, and it's Oprah, and it's, oh my gosh. I think it was Markley Van Camp and Robbins. I think it was Maven Robbins that said there was like ballots when Oprah was speaking. Underneath the seat, there's some extra ballots there for you. I laughed. That's kind of where it goes. But there was a piece out there by Peter St. Onge. And Granny sent this to me and a couple of other people. Thank you for that. But I do a lot of Substack reading, too, because it's where the last bastions of free journalism and free speech are going on online, really. Is over on Substack, and even then they try to censor you. But Peter St. Onge ended up, I hope that's how you pronounce it. If I mispronounce it, apologies. But he had a piece out yesterday called, How Did American Voters Get So Dumb? And I've been saying that one of my issues with this election is that, especially on the Democratic side, and some on the Republican side too, votes are being made with the emotional temperature of a 12-year-old picking student council. That's about it. And it's about the feels. It's not about any kind of logic. Now I know maybe voting always has been a bit of there's an emotional component to that. I get that. And a tribalism that comes with this, too. But Peter ended up writing a brilliant piece. I'm going to have to share the link to this because I just think it's wonderful. He writes, it's a modern fetish that we're brilliant while our ancestors were idiots. After all, they didn't have iPhones, internets, or Kim Kardashian. This is also academic consensus, for what it's worth, called the Flynn effect. The idea is that people do better on puzzles, so we must be smarter. Of course, one wonders if puzzles translate into, say, understanding monetary policy or how welfare destroys families. Thankfully, we have a real-world test, actual political campaigns. Back when I was a professor, he writes, I ran every inaugural address through a Flesch Kincaid tex analysis to measure the grade level. In other words, how were these inaugural addresses being written? What were they addressing the people at? What level? The logic being that top speechwriters know how to talk at the voters' level. And going by grade level, it turns out that we are getting dumb breathtakingly fast. And he brings up the evidence on his Substack piece here. In 1900, inaugural addresses were written at between 13th and 14th grade level. That's today modern college level. Today's inaugural addresses were written, well, there's one from Obama, 8th grade. Trump wrote his at 9th grade. Actually, his was higher. Oh, it was higher than Obama, if you can believe that. And Biden, 7th grade. Seventh grade. Now, remember, we have this massive public education system, and yet we're getting dumber, right? By the way, the teachers union, all completely against Trump, Vance, and all in the tank for Kamala, by the way. It gets worse the farther back we go, Anji writes. Andrew Jackson's 1828 inaugural address was written at the 22nd grade level, meaning, strictly speaking, two PhDs was the median voter they were talking to in 1828. Keep in mind that Jackson was the populist man of the people. Washington's inaugural was closer to the 26th grade level. Also keep in mind that almost nobody in 1828 or 1789 had a formal education. Jackson kicks off his inaugural inaugural with, undertaking the arduous duties that I have been appointed, Washington starts with, among the vicissitudes incident to life, for Biden, it is, this is America's day. So how did we get so dumb? And the professor says, public schools. Easy answer. Modern government school came from 1800s Prussia, who had enough of worker riots and peasant revolts, and they resolved to indoctrinate the kids into pro-regime obedience. And Professor Anji says it worked like a charm, turning the once unruly Germans into a government-directed army that went on to do terrible things. Left-wing American intellectuals, fascinated by Prussia's indoctrination and imported it to the United States. They were motivated not by peasant revolts, but by the frustratingly small government ethos of Catholics. So the Catholics came over and they didn't really want big government, so that had to change. The Progs figure they can't frog march American Catholics into government utopia, but they have the children. These activists spread government schools to every state, got a major boost post-war when competence tests were declared discriminatory, forcing companies to rely instead on formal education to try to discover talent. This launched the university from a fringe toy for the 1% into a $300,000 tax on anybody hoping for a white-collar job. Meanwhile, like all government programs, opportunists, the teachers' union took over, spending $878 billion per year, dutifully peddling politics but neglecting the actual purpose of education, leaving American kids illiterate and innumerate. Illiterate and innumerate. I've certainly been talking about innumerate a lot on my show. You know how I talk about that? All right, we're going to have to talk about some numbers here on talk radio, and I know this is really rough because Americans largely have great difficulty grasping large numbers. But we have to try to anyway, because we got an awful lot of big, bad numbers that we're dealing with, right? This is why, you know, where I am right now, I appreciate anybody that is willing to go into the teachers' union den, the unionized progressive den of being on a school board and trying to get some decent policy. I'm thinking about Michael Williams, the battle that he's having with Medford 549C just to try to get some open conversation about school safety. And he goes on the school board. He says, I'm going in there to make a difference. Remember Julie, a colleague of mine here at Bi-Coastal Media, used to be on the Rogue River School Board and talked about doing the same thing. Oh, man, we all go there. We're all alpha people, type A personalities, and we're wanting to, grab this thing and reform it, and we have to do this and help the kids and save the kids. And then you find out that it is next to impossible to reform public education from within the system. Almost impossible. And so, hey, if you want to run for this, good for you. But what you're working on is trying to save the future generations of children. And I continue to insist, and will continue to until somebody proves differently to me, that the only way you can save your child, if it's of school age, and for the near future kids, you have to get them out. You have to get them out. It's the only response. And by the way, private and parochial may not necessarily be perfect either. I'm not saying the whole thing, because remember, the books you're using for the most part are still the ones that are the progs wrote for the public schools. So we got a lot of work here, but I don't see any other way out of it. Peter St. Ange said, "How did American voters get so dumb?" Well, it was part of the plan. It's part of the plan. It was purposeful. Have a nice elite class that goes to Harvard, goes to Harvard and then runs the world. And the rest of us are wondering, what's a trillion? What's a trillion? Oh, it's okay. Dick Cheney told me the deficits don't matter. I know. That's where we find ourselves right now. But he's right. Public schools. And eliminating public schools, not on the on the ballot right now, are they? All we're talking about is that we just have to give them more. More and more and more. Doesn't matter what the actual product that comes out is. So God bless the people that are trying to reform the schools. You've got a long job in front of you, but that's for the future. To save your kids now, I still think you have to get out. This is the Bill Meyer Show. And on that note, after I'm saying, you have to get out. Get out and let's, just sing along again.
Happy, happy, joy, joy. Happy, happy, joy, joy.
Thank you, Kamala.
Happy, happy, joy,
thank you, Kamala.
Joy, happy, happy,
I love it.
Joy, joy.
Happy, happy,
happy, happy, joy, joy. Happy, happy.
You're burning
joy,
the country
joy,
down, but
happy, happy,
we're
joy,
happy.
Joy.
I don't think you're happy enough.
Looking for reliable roofing experts? Turn to the family-owned gem of our community, Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc., your go-to for metal roofing solutions, offering 25-year workmanship guarantee on all projects. New construction, re-roofing project, residential or commercial, they've got you covered. This experienced team ensures a stress-free experience from start to finish. Choose quality. Choose Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. for your metal roofing needs. Call today. Get an estimate tomorrow, 541-941-3736.
One of each, Forte VIN 807033, MSRP 21645, Sol VIN 920929, MSRP 21740-3699, due 10K miles per year, zero security deposit, all incentives and discounts to dealer, plus tax, title, license, 150 registration, processing fee, trading in a vehicle will not eliminate your debt. Negative equity applied to new loan balance ends 9/2/24.
The summer of savings is here with new Kias from $139 a month at Kia Medford. Now is the best time to get into a new Kia. Shop our huge selection and save. Get a new 2024 Kia Forte LXS. For a new 2024 Kia Soul LX, just $139 a month lease, both for 24 months. Plus, once we make a deal at Kia Medford, we'll pay off your trade no matter how much you owe. Need credit? Go to KiaMedford.com to get pre-approved in less than 30 seconds with no effect on your credit score. Then find the Kia you really want, like new Fortes or Souls, just $139 a month. Don't miss the summer of savings going on right now at Kia Medford. Click KiaMedford.com.
Oregon E-Deals has saved the Rogue Valley boatloads of cash over the years, and they aren't stopping. Get a Lithia body and paint certificate, normally $500, now only $300. Artisan bakery certificates, normally $25, only $15. American Rancher Garage, $75 certificates, good for any service, only $40. This and much more available exclusively at OregonEDeals.com.
I'm hooked on OregonEDeals.com. I'm saving big.
Hi, I'm Riley with Rotary Drilling Company, and I'm on KMED.
By the way, that Dutch Bros robbery, they had attempted robbery the other day in Medford. Medford police arrested the guy they were looking for. Remember the dude on the scooter? 34-year-old Raymond William Mathis. I guess he was already wanted or wanted for parole violation and everything else. And he was in possession of an air rifle and an air pistol at the time of his arrest. I'm wondering if this is going to end up being a Measure 11 crime. Because as far as the Dutch Bros person, well, of course, you know, you could get shot dead with an air rifle or an air pistol, too. It wasn't a firearm, but unlawful use of a weapon, menacing, second degree, robbery in the second degree. And, yeah. And he was still lodged in there as a probation violation. So I just thought that was pretty interesting. And, you know, just because it's an air rifle doesn't all of a sudden make it like it wasn't a deadly weapon, right? Yeah. 26 minutes after 6, thought I would list that. Oh, wait a minute. The ACLU may come defend him. Maybe he may have made a social media post about his crime, and Medford police shouldn't have read it. Yeah, I'm just kidding. It didn't happen. But, you know, that's kind of what the ACLU is thinking. Let me go to James. James is in Selma. Hey, James. How are you doing this morning? What's on your mind?
Yeah, I found an article. I used to look up Drudge, but I never looked at Drudge no more because Gateway Pundit's got him beat.
I don't even know if there is a Matt Drudge running thing. I don't think he runs that anymore. I don't know who's running it, but it's definitely gotten kind of weird, you know?
Yeah, there's an article about everybody's worried about housing. Well, they're going to give out $30,000 for like a down payment on new homes. So there are problems are solved.
No, you know what? You forgot to mention something very serious about this, though. If you aren't white,
for migrants and asylum seekers.
Yeah, yeah. You can't be. You cannot be white. You
citizens.
You can't be white. Here's the story. Daily Caller first reported on this, and it's a Hacienda Community Development Corporation, and it's a taxpayer-funded down payment assistance program. This is what Daily Caller is saying. That gives money to illegal aliens, to non-citizens to buy homes in the state of Oregon. And American citizens are actually excluded from being able to get this. So isn't that great that you are being taxed then to get affordable housing to illegal aliens? And it's reportedly offering $30,000 for down payment help for eligible new home buyers. And, of course, eligible means non-citizen. Isn't that something?
Right. And it's going to be just like it was in 2008, to where if they don't have a job, then they lose the house and the banks foreclose on it. And it's crazy times. But I'm glad we got a junior in there, RFK, because he supports life.
Yeah. Okay. We'll see about that. He's out of the Arizona. He officially withdrew from the Arizona ballot yesterday. Whether he's going to endorse Trump today, we don't know right now. All right? But that's supposedly going to be some sort of announcement later today. I think it's 11 o'clock this morning, if I recall. Let me go to Tom. Hello, Tom. How are you?
Doing fine, Bill. Good morning.
Good morning.
This is a follow-up on your commentary about the average American voter and public education. Today at lewrockwell.com, Jim Quinn of the Burning Platform has an article.
Oh, man, I got to tell you, he's an interesting writer. Gets right into it.
Yeah.
Takes no prisoners.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, his article is, they selected Kamala. This is their plan. And it starts out by a quote by H.L. Mencken, which kind of backs up what you were talking about. So it goes like this. As democracy is perfected, the office of president represents more and more closely the inner soul of the people. On some great and glorious day, the plain folks of the land will reach their heart's desire at last, and the White House will be adorned by a downright moron.
That's a great quote. Mencken was great. You know, somebody else from that era that's really worth reading about, too, reading more about? Garrett Garrett. You ever hear of him, too? Another guy like Mencken.
No.
Garrett Garrett wrote a great piece, and I know we're kind of waxing poetic on and some great thinkers from the past here. Garrett Garrett was one of them. H.L. Mencken, wonderful, wonderful writer. Garrett Garrett wrote a lot of quite a few books based on free markets and capitalism and trying to do the right thing.
Well, I'll keep my intent for him.
Let me just mention one of his best pieces, though, is called "The Revolution Was." And and this was back after the New Deal with Roosevelt. And the take on it was, is that the Republicans, conservatives, people of common sense are thinking like, well, the revolution is going to be coming, and they're going to be, with their flags and their swastikas, and they're going to be doing the goose stepping and things like that. And he said, no, the revolution was actually the New Deal from the 1930s. And that's what we're still even living with today, because it was the growth of the progressive mega state. And he was saying that back in the 1930s and 40s. And we keep looking forward to where the revolution is going. It's like, no, the revolution already was behind you. And all we're doing is continuing it, even today.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's certainly a good point, because we're in the midst of the same communist revolution. It's just ramping up right now.
And Trump is kind of a speed bump there. And the hope is that you get Trump in there, not because Trump is going to fix everything, but at least he stops some of the decay and some of the decline, because you do get the government you deserve to a certain extent.
Oh, yeah. And what I wanted to, I've been thinking about that, basically, like you were saying, is that it seems like they're running for eighth grade president. And, and the denigration of Trump, there's some truth to it, and too, about the narcissism personality. But stepping back a bit, it's all true about Trump's mouth being his greatest asset and his greatest liability. But, Trump, besides his personality, if you set his personality aside, he's a businessman. And he ran, when he was running the, president, he ran the country like a business. And I think he, with some, quite a few exceptions here and there, but overall, he ran it like a business, and he did a good job. And you compare that to what Kamala has with the communist revolution. I mean, there's no comparison. So even though I think he is a very flawed personality, as a president, I think he'd do just fine if he'll only listen to some of the people around him and not hire the swamp again.
Yeah, and I do think it's also important that that he work on talking about the issues important. And as wonderful as it is to deliver eighth grade, personal attacks right now, that's not necessarily going to work with Kamala's people trying to persuade a few from her. But we'll talk more about that. As a matter of fact, Venn Miller, who's the founder of the American Happens Network, is standing by. We're going to talk with him in a couple of minutes because, like I had mentioned, I was supposed to watch Kamala last night, and then I couldn't because we had an off-air thing. I had to go fix some things at the radio stations. And so he watched it, so I didn't have to. He took the bullet, and we'll talk with him about that coming up.
Since 1938, Blue Star Gas has been serving Jackson and Josephine counties for all your residential and commercial propane needs. That's a long time, and for good reason. Blue Star Gas employees live, play, and volunteer here in the Rogue Valley and truly care about their customers. As a customer, you can count on Blue Star Gas to provide excellent service for decades and generations to come. For more information, visit BlueStarGas.com. That's BlueStarGas.com.
Oregon Truck and Auto Authority is your work truck and van headquarters. Proudly offering Adrian Steel interior shelving packages, partitions, and the best ladder racks in the business. Integrate a bed slide or decked drawer system to boost your efficiency. Also featuring the largest selection of commercial fiberglass and metal truck canopies from leading manufacturers such as ARE, SmartCap, Century, and more. Come see Oregon Truck and Auto Authority today and take your efficiency to the next level.
Latest news brought to you by locally owned and operated Artisan Bakery Cafe in South Medford. It's a full-service cafe offering breakfast, lunch, and specialty coffees. You'll be wowed one bite at a time.
From the KMED News Center, here's what's going on. Oregonians will be deciding on the complicated ranked choice voting system as ballot measure 117 goes in front of voters this fall. The Multnomah County Elections Office says that when Portland does its first go around with ranked choice voting in November, it will take weeks to determine who's actually going to be elected to a slew of city offices. The Medford City Attorney is pushing back on a lawsuit filed by the ACLU claiming Medford police use social media sites and media reports to create files spying on non-criminal people who advocate for drug users and also are social justice protesters. City Attorney Eric Mitten says police aren't judging individuals' views, but addressing legitimate public safety concerns related to public rallies and protests. And speaking of this, one of the groups behind the lawsuit, Rogue Valley Pepper Shakers, interrupted U.S. Congressman Cliff Bent's town hall meeting this week, protesting against Israel and its war against Hamas. Bent supports Israel. Two of the protesters were arrested, but no charges were pressed. Bill London, KMED.
Life's busy, and off is not an option. You need to be on the water, on the call, on the road. Life's waiting. Power on with Batteries Plus. Visit one of over 700 locations today.
Fontana Roofing is celebrating their 27th anniversary installing roofs in Southern Oregon. And the universe seems to be giving the crew subtle reminders.
Better slow down a bit. The speed sign clocked you at 27 and a 25.
Whoops. I'm distracted looking for the job site. What's the address again?
27.
Okay, we got another block, so looks like another nice day. High of 81.
27.
What?
81 Fahrenheit is 27 Celsius.
Weird. Oh, there it is, and we're right on time.
Actually, we're 3 minutes early. It's
27 after. Okay, enough Twilight Zone. Hand me my tool belt and let's get cracking.
Here you go. Whoops.
Roofing nails all over the floorboard.
27.
What is this? Rain Man?
Count them.
It's no coincidence why Fontana Roofing has been serving the Rogue Valley for 27 years. Our longevity is owed to our hardworking employees, past and present, and our loyal customers. Thank you from Fontana Roofing.
The Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED.
Happy, happy, joy, joy, happy, happy, joy, joy, happy, happy, joy, joy, happy, happy, joy, joy.
Yes,
happy,
pretty much joy, policy-free, joy, but boy, happy, a celebration joy, of joy happy, over at the joy, DNC. Joy, and like I'd mentioned, I was not able to watch most of Kamala Harris's speech. I had to do some engineering work last night, and it just happened to hit right when she was going on. I did see Adam Kinzinger. Yikes. Van Miller, though, he took the bullet. He watched it so I didn't have to. And he's the founder of the America Happens Network, AHN, an uncensored entertainment and news network, which has carried the motto, Rage Against the Mainstream Media. You've been doing that, some 15, 16, 17 years now. Isn't that right, Van? Welcome.
Yeah, thank you. Well, firstly, thank you so much for having me on your show. I really appreciate it. Yes, my name is Van Miller. I help to run the America Happens Network, and we actually started doing this back in the early 2000s. I have a kind of a unique story, which is that I've been in the Hollywood entertainment, film, and TV business since I was a kid, pretty much since the mid-90s. And it was quite a learning curve for me being in that environment, because I went in there with the best of intentions. My goal was always to talk about topics on all levels that are not necessarily explored through the mainstream media. And I thought, hey, you know, I'm going to do this as a career. And I had this point of view. And what I quickly realized is that there's a system in place there where the truth doesn't go to the surface, right? And this took me, pretty much 20 years to really catch up on what was happening through my experiences. But what really was very clear in 2015 is how they were fictionalizing the news in order to attack Donald Trump, right? Mm-hmm. And I was not a Donald Trump fan early on, but when I started realizing that they're using these reality show editing tricks, there's something that we call Frankenbiting, which is that you Frankenstein footage and audio together to create a fictitious version of reality. This is a trick that they use in all the reality shows. I know I've produced dozens of different reality shows. And that sort of trick, once it started going into the news, that's when I was like, I didn't sign up for this. I didn't sign up to become essentially a psychological operation against we the people to manipulate their thoughts based upon lies. And that's really that was the breaking point for me. So the long and short of it is I established America Happens in the early 2000s as a response to what I believe was the tyranny of George W. Bush with the Patriot Act, right?
Yep.
I was fooled into thinking that Barack Obama was some kind of savior. So right after we went viral on MySpace in 2007 and Barack Obama came into the picture, I thought, you know, there's this guy. My issue was the warmongering of George W. Bush, the lies, the military-industrial complex agenda. But when I started realizing that, hey, Barack Obama's just another wing of the same bird, that's when the whole thing started to really fall apart for me. I started to realize that the media has to be involved in educating the people, getting the correct information into people so that we, the people, can make decisions that are best for this country, which is fundamentally missing. Even as we speak, we just heard Kamala Harris's speech filled with so many fictions and lies. And people are clapping over these fiction and lies, right? And this is why we're around. This is why America Happens tries to, you know, our best to put the truth out there. Our platform is AmericaHappens.com. We're on Rumble. We're on Roku, Apple TV, Amazon Fire. And we're constantly producing content. I'm partnered up with Mindy Robinson, who's created multiple documentaries, including about the Route 91 shooting, October 1st, 2017, the massacre that happened there, which we have not been told the truth about, where there was multiple shooters. So that's what we do. We try to bring the truth to the people.
Very interesting. And I appreciate how you're talking about the editing processes that get used to manipulate the folks. And by the way, I would dare say both sides of the ideological aisle, if you want to call the left and the right, they employ a little bit of that. Now, I'll give you an example of something which kind of struck me. And believe me, I'm the last guy that would ever defend Tim Walz, because I think he's just excrement piece. Okay, we'll just kind of leave it at that. Okay, that being said, though, I know that the latest tightly edited speech had them everybody saying, "Oh, Walz said that he wants J.D. Vance's daughter raped." No, he didn't say that. He didn't say that exactly. It had to do, wanted to experience the unplanned pregnancy, and I get that. And you know, when you take it and you jump it to the next level and you only take 10 seconds out of something that somebody says, everybody does it, though, I guess, Fem. And that's one of our challenges right now. Everybody does it, where it's the sin or the distortion or the lie of omission, as it were. And believe me, Tim Walz says enough bad stuff rather than having to try to exaggerate some of the stuff which is going on out there. Okay, that's all I would say. But anyway, go ahead, please.
One thing I wanted to mention on that topic, you know, America Happens was really started as a reaction to the George W. Bush administration. I would like to think we're apolitical. Uh-huh. I would like to think that we're much more about the U.S. Constitution, freedoms, our rights that are being threatened. So when it was George W. Bush that was doing that, we reacted to that. That's why we went viral on MySpace way back, like 15, 16 something years ago, is because we're reacting to what George W. Bush was doing. So this to me is not, you know, and part of the George W. Bush agenda was the fictionalizing of the news, right? Creating this fictitious reality. So,
wasn't that what Rumsfeld talked about? Was it Rumsfeld that said, you know, we're here, we're creating our own, you know, we create the reality that people are seeing, words to that effect? I seem to recall that.
Exactly. Yeah, and you know, that's really what that is the media complex really working with the intelligence community to create a reality that sets an agenda for the people. It doesn't matter that reality that they've created is complete fiction. Doesn't matter that reality they've created is actually destructive for the country. It is an agenda, and this is why it's so important to get the correct information out to the people, as hard as it is, by the way, because we keep getting censored. I mean, we had a huge YouTube page that they shut down. We've been kicked off of Twitter 1.0 on multiple occasions, and this is the battle of our time. It's censorship. We got to fight the censorship. People just need to know the facts, and I truly believe that the American people, if they know the truth, they could make the smart decisions.
And by the way, I appreciate you going into the Las Vegas shooting. You have the documentary, the news on that America Happens Network page there. And that is one of the nastiest pieces of government, I don't know if it's police state propaganda or whatever it is. No one has ever been able to explain really anything of what happened at that Las Vegas mass shooting. And believe me, I know what bump stocks sound like here, Vim, because I've shot them. I had one. I destroyed one after Donald Trump banned it to his discredit, you know, in my view. I don't think he could constitutionally have the power to do it, but he did, you know, back at that time. I know how bump stocks fire. The kind of fire that was happening at the Las Vegas shooting, that was not a bump stock. Those were not bump stocks. Yeah. They just weren't. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that you get into that kind of stuff. In other words, conspiracy truths. And there's just so much that we get manipulated on. So now that we know kind of what you're all about, I'm going to put all your information up, and I want more people going to your channels here. What did you? What was your overall impression of the Kamala speech yesterday?
I mean, this is there were so many lies in there, right? I think it was filled with a lot of lies, a lot of propaganda, a lot of preparing us for a potentially stolen election. She talked about that quite a bit. But the lies that really stuck out to me is the Project 2025 lie that, you know, Trump is somehow involved in that. He's been very clear that that's not part of his agenda. He has agenda 47. She talked a lot about, you know, growing up and like listening to Aretha Franklin in this lower middle class neighborhood, and all that stuff's a lie, because if you actually know Kamala's history, she went to a Montreal University in Canada, by the way. She pretty much is being groomed to be the Justin Trudeau of the United States, which should scare the crap out of everybody, because Justin Trudeau in Canada is one of the most unpopular prime ministers in the history of Canada, okay? The talk that she talks is identical to Justin Trudeau. I don't think it's a coincidence that she was groomed and raised in a Montreal university. She talked about how, you know, insinuating that she's, you know, she was poor, struggling. A lot of that is a lie. A lot of that is an absolute lie. She had privilege, right? And then she also talks about her, you know, her mom all of a sudden being interested in civil rights, which is the biggest lie, because her mom's Indian, right? And trying to kind of shoehorn that into what she's really trying to do, which is trying to get the African-American vote. She realizes that a lot of African-American males have been turned off by what's been happening in the last 4 years, and they're losing that community. All that stuff is really psychological propaganda to not lose that voting base.
I would also add that her father was Marxist. Was he not?
Yeah.
From what I call? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's more to that, by the way, because one of the things they don't talk about is she mentioned this kind of peripherally, where she said she stopped seeing her father when she was young because, you know, they went through a divorce. California courts, by the way. So you have this father that was basically taken out of Kamala's life, alienated, right? We often don't talk about the psychological repercussions of a child losing their father in that kind of way, right? But these are the California courts, commie courts, Marxist courts, that for no reason whatsoever took the father out of Kamala's life. And that's something I wish people talked about more. What is the effect of a child being alienated like that, right? We see her behavior as a prosecutor, where she let a lot of black men rot in jail that she knew had served their time or were innocent, right? So there's a lot of behavior there in terms of how she behaved as a prosecutor. And then you couple that with the fact that she comes from an alienated family and really what's going on there. Why is this individual so cruel that she would let black men suffer in jail when she knows they're innocent? Does that really relate to the fact that she was alienated as a child and she might have negative feelings towards men?
Yeah, I guess, you know, implying kind of like Kamala Harris has daddy issues then, in other words.
I mean, big time. You know, look, I hate to say, you know, I live in Las Vegas, right? In Las Vegas, there's a whole sex industry. The sex industry is filled with products of single moms and alienated children. The sex industry is filled with women that have daddy issues. And that is a hard thing to bring up because it gets controversial, but that is a fact that we have to look at, because we're looking at the inherent character of somebody. You have, on one hand, you have Donald Trump, who is a successful father, right? When you look at an unsuccessful father, look at Joe Biden's children with you know, the drug addiction, potential sexual abuse, right? And then you look at Donald Trump's kids, they're all successful. So,
but yet, I think that's exactly one of the reasons why Donald Trump is so hated by many women on the liberal side, because I think he reminds them he's that father figure or the authority figure. We don't want daddy. We don't want to, in other words, you know, I don't want a daddy. I don't want any authority, or don't want to recognize any authority out there. I think that's really what we're dealing with right now.
Or jealousy of a good father, you know, whatever mental health issues they have. And then you look at some of these statistics that say 54 to 64% of liberal women suffer from mental illness. I mean, could that be the love of abortions and things that happen when you realize you're killing your child? I don't know. But whatever it is, there's a massive load of daddy issues that nobody's talking about that is really part of this Kamala campaign. And the hatred of Donald Trump, I think, stems from the fact that this man actually was a successful businessman and a successful father, and he has great children.
Yeah, yeah. And he himself admits that lousy husband, but a good father, so he worked on that. Van Miller, once again, founder of the American Happens Network, Uncensored Entertainment and News Network. And I really appreciate that someone like you is out there working this. Now, some of the issues here moving forward, I don't know if you consider yourself a political pundit or if you're just more into the news or whatever it is. Don's got to focus on just the issues right now. I don't think attacking Kamala personally is going to be as effective as it would be for, let's say, Joe Biden. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think he should stick to the issues. There's so many issues to talk about. He's got the golden goose right there, which is a bad economy, which always seems to favor the candidate that is running against the people that were responsible for that bad economy. So I think he's got to really restrain himself. I mean, don't get me wrong. I would love to get on stage and talk about all the things we've been talking about in terms of Kamala's inherent character issues, where that stems from, her Canadian upbringing, the fact that she's groomed to be the Justin Trudeau. These are all interesting things to me, but I feel as though those kind of attacks are not where we should go.
Well, they won't peel off any current Kamala supporters or anybody who's a little wishy-washy, like, I don't really know where to go. You just really can't you really can't go there. That's the way I would see that.
Yeah. I mean, people are inherently, you know, there's a selfishness with people. I think when something happens to your next door neighbor, like I'm in California right now, I'm visiting a friend, okay? And talk about these Democrat policies. Just yesterday, my friend's house got robbed. We found out that these three individuals, we got pictures of them, robbed 10 houses in this neighborhood, suburban neighborhood in LA, which is supposed to be really safe, right? They robbed 10 houses in broad daylight with ski masks on. And every single security camera has images of these individuals. Now, one has to ask, why are these criminals in such bold-faced fashion robbing all these houses? Could it be that the California laws do not punish these individuals enough? I mean, that I believe is the answer. So we're seeing these kind of communistic, socialistic policies come to fruition in California. Nobody feels safe. Every single person I grew up with in California has had their house robbed in the last 6 months. So, you know, this is it. Hey, if everybody wants that for it to be the rest of the country, then go for Kamala.
Boy, now, is your friend looking differently? Because, you know, the old joke is the new Republican is the Democrat that just got mugged or robbed, you know, as the case might be. I'm just kind of curious. Yeah. Is it persuading any persuadables out there, kind of what's been going on, the chaos?
I do think so, yeah, 100%. I'm seeing it all over the place. In fact, when I do man on the streets interviews in certain neighborhoods in Los Angeles, I go to some rough neighborhoods, you know, what some people consider rough neighborhoods, like Watts and Compton.
Oh, wow.
And they interview people on the streets. I mean, it is, she is really despised as an individual, especially by a lot of black men. Now, the question becomes, I mean, you saw the hoopla at the DNC, you
right.
know, the fake crowds, the fake, you know.
Well, that was a purely made for television event, and it was very well done. I have to say, it was skillfully done to push that.
Yeah.
Pretty much content free, or at least policy free.
This is the great danger. You know, I feel like as competent producers of content, you could actually use your powers for great evil. And that's what you're seeing. You're seeing a bunch of propagandists. There's been movies made about, you know, how the entertainment industry is able to fake, you know, certain events. Like there was that movie with Ben Affleck about the Iran hostage crisis and how Hollywood became involved in that. I mean, that's the power of propaganda we're seeing right there. And that's what you're seeing. You're seeing a lot of these propagandists that are willing to use their talents and skills to really create a fictitious reality. And that's their victory. I personally think it's repugnant that they do that, knowing that they're lying to the people, knowing that this is all a construction. But, you know, that's the reality of the world. You know, for everybody that's trying to do good, you probably have five that are trying to do bad.
You have any sources talk to you about RFK Jr.? What effect that may have? He left the Arizona race yesterday, but supposedly going to make an announcement today. The speculation is that he goes for Trump or endorses Trump.
Yeah, I think that would be huge because there you have a descendant of really one of the most respected Democrat presidents. And, you know, that certainly his father was a huge influence on that party. And the fact that they don't even give him a chance at actually getting this nomination, that this was a selection, really, I think he's going to end up endorsing Donald Trump. He sees the tyranny that is coming forth because of Kamala Harris if she ever ends up in office. I think that's going to have a huge change. And one thing that is the X factor, though, is Elon Musk releasing what is being called the Twitter Files 2.0, which is the private DMs all the way from back to 2006. I know there's going to be some great golden nuggets there in terms of what they did with the 2020 election. I hope that Elon Musk has the courage. I've heard that he might release it around September 7th, September 10th. I think that would be the death nail on the Kamala campaign, because that's going to show how government and Twitter colluded in 2020 to steal the election. It's going to show a lot of bad behavior, and I hope Elon has the courage to actually release those. That would be huge.
Very good. Hey, before we take off here, Vim, tell me about your Blood Money podcast. What's that all about? Or what is that all about?
So I started Blood Money in 2021, really just interviewing people about conspiracy, corruption, and controversy, three C's, and really trying to expose what's going on out there on many levels. It's called Blood Money because this is really, most of the episodes deal with the topic of blood money. For example, you know, things that are not often talked about again in the mainstream media, like geoengineering, the COVID-19 vax, you know, the 9/11 conspiracy. I mean, we go all over the place, and I try to interview people that are credible, know about the topics very well. And we've interviewed, I mean, like I said, about 250 individuals for that Blood Money podcast. It's one of the 14 shows that we have on our network, America Happens.
AmericaHappens.com, the main website, but it's also on Smart TV, Roku TV, Fire TV, also a bunch of shows in there. And I appreciate getting a chance to finally talk to you, Vim, and thank you very much, and you be well, and see if we can, well, we got about 70-something days to go. Boy, it's going to be a long couple of months, huh? You think so?
Yeah. And I encourage people to follow our website. We're about to drop some huge bombs. We've been working with the Bundy family of the Bundy Ranch standoff. There's a lawsuit that they are filing very soon. And there's a whole array of interesting things going on. So please follow us on AmericaHappens.com. We're updating our content every day.
Will do so. Vim, a pleasure meeting you. And thanks for being on the show. Good talk. Okay.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
657, you're on KMED 99.3 KBXG.
This is Insurance Agent A.
Hey.
He sells for one company only.
It's the absolute best.
To my right, an exemplary insurance agent, an independent, which means...
I can help you research multiple insurance plans, giving you a much better look at who actually has the better coverage.
Well, that's not fair.
That's not what our customers say.
Well, I can't compete with that.
Home, auto, health, life. Sky Park Insurance is your local independent agency that shops for the best coverage for less. Steve makes insurance easy.
Artisan Bakery Cafe, your go-to for all things delicious. Now serving amazing summer specials. Try their turtle brownie, loaded with caramel and pecans, blueberry cream cheese coffee cake, chocolate hazelnut croissant, lavender cupcakes filled with Bavarian cream, and coconut cream beignets. So many fresh baked goodies just waiting for you. Swing by Tuesday through Friday from 7 to 3 and Saturday from 8 to 3 at 1325 Center Drive across from South Fred Meyer. That's the Artisan Bakery Cafe.
Joel here from Butler Ford and Truck Center. And hey, I know I get excited in these ads and I start talking loud and fast. But hey, that's because I genuinely love Ford trucks and SUV. I own Fords. My family and friends drive Fords. I've been selling Fords at Butler for over 21 years to happy customers like you who've made Butler Ford the highest Google-rated Ford store in Oregon. So when I see a good deal on a Ford F-150 Super Duty or SUV, I get excited to tell you about it. And right now, I'm excited that you can pay only $399 a month to lease a Ford F-150 4x4. Pay $399 a month, drive it for 3 years, then come back and get a new one. I also want you to know that interest rates on the new Ford Escape are down to 2.9% for 75 months. 2.9 for 75 months? So yes, I get excited about saving our customers money on a new Ford. Butler Ford and Truck Center, just 12 short minutes down the freeway in Ashland, off of exit 19, where we got your truck, your SUV, certified pre-owned, and your savings.
36-month lease to qualifying trading customers with $63.58 to assigning, excluding tax, license, title, and 250 dealer doc fee on stock number 596.93 and selling price of $52.905 after all rebates and discounts. 75 monthly payments of $14.59 per thousand finance. All financing on approved credit through Ford Credit. See dealer for more details.
Wildfires can cause tragic impacts to our homes, our livelihoods, and our sense of safety. It's up to us to take the necessary steps to protect our homes, friends, and neighbors. Things like making sure your roof and gutters are clear of anything that can easily catch fire, keeping your lawn mowed, and moving anything flammable away from your home. Learn more about these and other things you can do to defend your homes from wildfires this season by visiting OregonDefensibleSpace.org. That's OregonDefensibleSpace.org.
You're hearing The Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED.
By the way, it's KMED and KMED HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KBXG, Grants Pass, shade before 7 o'clock. And we'll catch up on Town Hall News here in just a moment. Mr. Outdoors will join me shortly thereafter. And interesting story that is going on about ocean cooling. I wonder what ocean cooling is all about. I'm starting to read more burbling about that because everything is about, the Earth has a fever. The Earth has a fever, and the fever is only satisfied with more cowbell. No, I mean, actually, it's more green energy. But be that as it may, so we'll talk with Mr. Outdoors about that. Josephine County Commissioner John West rejoins the program. Wanted to bring him back on a little bit earlier than I thought. I mean, I talked with him a little bit earlier this week about this recall. There is something very odd going on, in my opinion, over in Josephine County government. And I don't have proof at this point, but my gut tells me that we have essentially a bunch of public employees that are concerned about being fired. And then all of a sudden, magically, we have ethics charges and bully charges. It's like all of a sudden they're talking about actually consolidating a lot of departments over in Josephine County because they don't have the money, right? They don't have the money, and so wouldn't you know, we have to do a recall, and we have to do a we peck people to death. We peck John West to death, in my opinion. This is just my opinion, all right? But the timing of it all seems to be very odd. That's all. But we'll talk with John about this. And speaking of which, the lead petitioner, Lily Morgan, who is the current city manager of the city of Gold Hill in Jackson County, seems to be in a little bit of a dust-up of sorts here. Newswatch 12 had a report last night. Rocky Walker, I think is his name. And this is what happened here. A city councilor for the city of Gold Hill removed from her position, vacated. She hadn't shown up for meetings for a couple of months. And Janet Wilson told Newswatch 12 why she ended up leaving.
Janet Wilson told me bullying, retaliation, aggression in the workplace, bad faith actions of the city manager, as well as attempts for the city manager to gain more power. She says these are the main reasons that she decided to step back from her role on the city council.
Donated my time for 6 years now, and I just is at the point where it's like, if I can't make a difference, then there's no point in me even trying anymore.
She says she left her position without an official resignation because Wilson says she saw and dealt with bullying from the city manager, Lily Morgan, since she started her position. Wilson tells me she brought the actions and behavior to the city council, and instead of addressing the problem, they punished the employee that told Wilson of the work environment. She said enough time of feeling helpless made her vacate the seat.
Councilor Sandcliffe?
Here.
Councilor Martin?
Here.
It's a vote.
Councilor Rigney?
Here.
Councilor Bergren?
Here.
Councilor Wilson? Not present.
I have had confrontations with her since she started, and her aggressive and bullying nature I just didn't understand why she needed to talk to treat people the way she does, not only council members, but she treats her staff badly as well.
I spoke to Morgan regarding these allegations, and she said she worked to have regular one-on-one meetings with city councilors for guidance on the direction of her leadership. She said Wilson didn't speak with her in that capacity.
Bullying and aggression and retaliation kind of behaviors, I guess it's there. Has any of that been brought up to you?
I can't comment on that.
She emphasized, though, that she does not have a say in the decision for Wilson's seat to be vacated, saying it's a part of the city charter and was decided by city councilors.
Okay, so maybe we just have a personality conflict between the city manager, Lily Morgan, and Janet Wilson, who is the former councilor now. And yet what I find fascinating is that there was this talk about bullying and intimidation and all these sort of things. Is this what happens when you hire administrators these days, in which the administrators think that they are the power? I don't know. I'm suspicious of what's going on in Josephine County right now because the county commission is the administrator. You know, they don't have a county administrator there. I know that the Democrats were really trying to do that. And frankly, the Lily Morgan types, we are all involved in that, trying to get the charter change. My suspicion is that the employees think that they should be running the government rather than the, you know, elected officials, the elected representatives running the government. Maybe there's a little bit of that going on there. I just remind you, why would you even take being intimidated by a city manager? And this is something I'd ask Janet. Maybe I can get her on the show at some point. But, you know, how can you be bullied or intimidated? You hired this person, or this person is hired help. That's it. They are hired help. You shouldn't be ever intimidated by the person that you're hiring, should you? So I don't know if this is just a personal matter, or if maybe the rest of the Gold Hill City Council, maybe they're actually okay with a alleged bully. I don't know. I don't know. It just doesn't strike me. I mean, I know Lily personally on a couple of things. I have not experienced this, but when you see all of a sudden people coming after her for bullying and intimidation, and yet she's the lead petitioner on the recall John West, because they're kind of saying the same thing, right? You know, it's just the same thing. And I suspect this is because the public employees think that they should be setting policy rather than county commissions. And so if they can't set policy, well, then we're going to peck people to death with complaints and ethics charges, which never go anywhere. They never rarely go anyplace. I know that Scott Stoddard over on Daily Courier ended up talking about John West's talk on my show the other day. And I'm surprised that Scott Stoddard isn't a little more curious about the strange timing that just all of a sudden everybody's, let's get John West. Wouldn't you be the least bit suspicious, Scott, of the timing?